Hello and welcome to the Emerald City Video Podcast. I'm your host, Russ Burlingame, and with me tonight is Zach Roberts, my most regular co-host. This is the second episode in a row that we're going to be looking a little bit at the CW's Riverdale. That's an Archie comic series and Archie Digest, a Riverdale podcast, where we look at nothing but Riverdale, and we view all of popular culture through that prism. Zach is also a fan of Riverdale. So we did a 5 for 5 the other day for Deidre and Lady Rabbitrain, which is a very excellent Netflix movie that's going to star Ashley Murray, or that stars Ashley Murray, excuse me, and Rachel Crowe. Murray, of course, plays Josie McCoy on Riverdale. This coming week, there's going to be another Netflix movie that we're going to take a look at with another member of the Riverdale cast, because apparently that's just what Netflix does now. So we figured, like, just for fun, between now and then, one of the things we could do was take a look, do a couple of 5 for 5s, and suggest some movies, or some TV shows, maybe some movies that, if you dig likelihood, you're gonna like these. Yeah. And again, for anybody here who's listening to our show who does not watch Riverdale, this has the practical upshot of being kind of a reverse Rorschach test too, where it's like, you know, you don't have to actually have seen Riverdale to appreciate the conversation we're about to have, because if we name a bunch of your favorite shows and we're saying, you know, it's a Riverdale thing, then you probably are going to really dig this, and it's probably going to be worth your time to check it out.
Yeah. I also feel like, what the fuck are you doing with your life if you're not watching, if you weren't watching the show and not watching it currently? Like, I feel weird, honestly, that I am not watching the show. The only reason I don't feel terrible that I'm not watching the show right now is because we're talking about shows that one might like if you like the show. So... yeah.
There you go. In this case, it's always a dicey thing where we go back and forth on how kind of closely tied things should be on a 5 for 5 to the product. And so in this case, we've actually got more than 5 things. A lot of them are just going to get kind of mentioned and then moved on past. But a lot of these also are not... you know, just like Twin Peaks, because in a lot of cases, it's just like there's a sensibility or a tone or, there's something about it that makes me think that you're going to really dig it if you dig Riverdale. The first thing that I already said was Twin Peaks, and so I guess we can jump right into it as my Freudian slip. One of the things that one of these days I'll figure out how to do the screen share thing effectively on Google Play. Not that anybody actually watches these things live, but... there's actually, in Betty Cooper's bedroom, there are owls, which is a thing on Twin Peaks. The owls are not what they seem is like the most kind of repeated phrase, I guess, in the show. It's not a hugely quotable show because it's not very pop culture-y. It's not like Riverdale in that way.
Yeah.
And it's funny because actually the first time these appeared on screen, they were... in the background and in the foreground, Betty was talking to her mom, who's played by Majin Amick, who is actually on Twin Peaks. and Twin Peaks is an easy one because it's a very stylized, very sexy show. It takes place essentially in a small town, and it revolves around a young person being murdered. So from the get-go, it's been compared pretty much constantly to Riverdale. Certainly, I mean... it's widely considered one of the best TV shows ever made, or at least the first season and then the series finale. most of season 2 you could probably do without.
No.
But it's one of those weird things where you really ought to have seen this anyway, especially because there's a new season coming out for the first time in 25 years, which is happening in like 5 weeks at this point.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's one of those, you should be watching, or you, not that you should be watching Twin Peaks because it's not present tense, but you should have seen Twin Peaks by now anyway, because it's very good. And because, it's one of those things where you're going to benefit imminently from it, because people are going to be talking about the new season when it comes very, very shortly.
Yeah. It's also one of those just general cultural zeitgeist shows that
yeah.
it's good to at least, I don't think I've actually seen the show since you know, I don't even know how much I paid attention to it as a kid, because I was just usually in the room when my dad or whoever was watching it. So like, I probably should rewatch it at some point. It was like 7, 8, 9. I forget how old. I don't know. Yeah, not enough to really. 25 years. Yeah, not really. Okay, 10. Not really enough to like wrap my head around the show. Yeah. Certainly, yeah. I mean, I could barely handle, you know, most of his films at this point, and being trying to figure out what the hell's going on. But yeah, it's you know, there's a lot of shows. I mean, we always have this thing where it's just like, you haven't seen that movie yet. What? Like, it has nothing to do with like insulting someone's character. It just has to do with, you know, first off, I get to show this thing to you. And then second off, no, it's like, wait, no, you never read a John Steinbeck novel. It doesn't matter which one, but like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, or, you know, like, you didn't read Catcher in the Rye. Like, yeah, the book fucking sucks, but it's like, you kind of at least have to have read like the Cliff Notes. Also, the book is what, like 132 pages or something like that. So I mean, like, come on. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, so that's our good starting point, mostly because I had that kind of Freudian slip and inadvertently revealed it to everybody before I intended to start talking about it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you jump into what's your first recommendation?
I should, you know, Twin Peaks is probably the most like dead on comparison that like it's kind of necessary. You know, mine are mostly, it's mostly the tone and the kind of feel that like, if you like this, you're going to really like this. Usually I try to have there's an actor in this that is in this, or, you know, there's some like, you know, aesthetic look, as my keyword was a couple weeks ago. But
yeah, something slightly more concrete.
My first one is Luther. It's one of my favorite shows like ever on television. It's a BBC show, very short run series. They did the, you know, it's BBC, so it's like 4 episodes, 3 episodes, like, and then you have to wait like maybe 2 years between them. So it's especially evil. The show is kind of semi-officially over now, so you can watch it in one long block, even though it's not necessarily a binge show. I think you do one season in a row, but like, I don't know if you really want to go through like each season. It's kind of emotionally draining show. But it's, you know, Luther is a cop who is played by Idris Elba. I don't know if it's not his first role, but first like bigger role, but it's like pinnacle Idris Elba. Like, you immediately think of Idris Elba, and this is like, this TV show is him. You know, like, it's everything that you look for if you're an Idris Elba fan. And if you're a fan of his, I don't know how you haven't watched the show already, because it's just absolutely fantastic. I mean, the it's obviously plays a cop, plays, you know, shockingly a you know, the rogue cop that, you know, works outside the lines, but it kills a lot of those. It plays with a lot of those stereotypes of the, you know, Lethal Weapon, you know, kind of unhinged officer who's, you know, slightly depressed and maybe may or may not like kill himself at any given point. But then it kind of like works its way through that in, you know, in the fact that he's, you know, extraordinarily ethical in his own kind of weird way. But
there's just to throw in an Archie appropriate thing in here. There's actually a similar series of detective novels, the Pete Fernandez novels by Alex Segura. Third one coming out in a couple of weeks. And Alex is he's writing the upcoming The Archies one shot for Archie Comics, and he's also their vice president in charge of publicity or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's very, very much in the DNA of Archie. He's been a big part of kind of building inroads to the media and making New Riverdale like a successful thing.
Yeah.
And so as you're describing that, I'm just like, literally, that was the kind of the archetype that they used in the first Pete Fernandez book, was that he was a character who was, you know, borderline suicidal.
Yeah.
So I figured it was worth mentioning him.
Good tie-in. Thank you for making the vague tie-in. But yeah, but again, it's a show that has, you know, at any given time, any of the characters could be a killer or could not. There's a lot of really surprise, a lot of big surprises in the film, in the show. A lot like there is in Riverdale. Not so much in Archie, you know, the murder mystery end of things, but But yeah, that's,
well, you know,
yeah. And it's a, I believe it's available on Netflix for streaming. You know, God only knows how long it'll last because Netflix is dumping a lot of their long-term shows in the coming weeks, which is super weird. Firefly is going away, which to me is like, you know, but but anyway.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things, like, as we're going through here for TV, a lot of these are going to be on Netflix. Mm-hmm. But of course, you never know when that's going to just suddenly stop being true.
Yeah.
If we tell you that it's on Netflix and then it's not, I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks is on Netflix, I will say that. Yes. Twin Peaks is also available for free on the Showtime website, because Showtime is who are doing the reboot or whatever it is. It's technically season 3. It's not a reboot.
Yeah.
But you know, that's Showtime are the ones who's doing that, and so you can go to the Showtime website and watch all of the old stuff for free. You can do it on Netflix. I believe it's also on Hulu. It's basically free everywhere because it's 25 years old and it's made its money back a million times.
Yeah.
I guess the next thing I wanted to talk about, and this kind of ties to what you were saying about more of a general aesthetic than anything really super specific, is Legion. And this is a weird one because you can't go binge it on Netflix. You can't really binge it anywhere because there's like 5 episodes. Mm-hmm. But Netflix or FX, excuse me, just launched Legion. It's another comic book adaptation, and said, because the two of them, I think, premiered within a couple of weeks of each other. Because the series premiere of Legion happened on the day that they aired the Dark Betty episode.
Yeah.
Which I want to say was episode 3 of Riverdale. That was when we were visiting the set. Way home, I like downloaded the Legion pilot and watched it on my phone on a plane. But the thing that I remember saying at the time was that, you know, if the Arrow and Legion or an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of era gave you a whole new appreciation for superhero TV, because like suddenly they were doing shows that were smarter and better and had better effects than before. Mm-hmm. Now with Riverdale and Legion, you have like cinematically credible television, based on comic books. Because it's like you look at these shows, and they're some of the best looking shows on television. The cinematography on Legion is just fucking top notch. If you had brought either Riverdale or Legion to somebody, you know, 5-10 years ago, and told them what it is, they'd have been like, "No way, that's a comic book show," because all comic book shows kind of have that same kind of generic sheen to them.
Yeah, which isn't shape and form true anymore. I mean, comic, you look at all, you know, I mean, obviously all the Netflix Marvel ones basically have literally the same filter over all of them. I don't know. I haven't watched Iron Fist yet, so I can't say, but I'm taking a wild guess here and saying, outside of having a white martial arts guy being there, it has all the same look and everything like that.
Really, that was the biggest thing about Legion, and to a certain extent, there's the element of seeing in the way that Riverdale is trying to do with the murder mystery, because Legion is just a mindfuck. It's one of those shows where you're watching it going like, I literally have no idea what sometimes and what's actually true and what's not. That's a thing where, if you're into that kind of thing, if you like that element of either Riverdale or shows like Twin Peaks or The X-Files, like that's a thing that'll carry over really easily.
Legion, surprisingly, all the episodes are still available, which one thing that always drives me nuts is, I don't know how bad FX is, but usually they only do like the last 4 episodes, and it's like, oh, well, great, it's the 5th episode, and now I can't catch up with it unless I decide to invest, you know, $15 in the show. It's like, the show, I don't know. Anyway, you know, going along with the, you know, I guess I'll go with this one next. Going along with the, you know, murder mystery, you know, sort of show, there's a Netflix show. It only 1 season. I don't know if it's coming back or not. It's another mini series show, little BBC-ish in its thing. And it's River. It's another show that has kind of that dark tone to it, a little bit of lightness. It's very much like Luther, but it actually has Stellan Skarsgård. I always fucking have no idea how to pronounce his name. I feel bad, you know, from the Avengers and from God, how many people are in Nymphomaniac? It's like the third time we've had a show where somebody is in it.
We just got to watch that. I think
I have no interest in watching it. I've watched the trailer and I'm like, nope.
I don't either, but maybe we can do it as the second half of the episode where we look at the Archie porn parody.
We can do an NC-17 episode. That's what we can do. But yeah, it's one of those shows I have a really hard time talking about without spoiler-ish in it, which of course is a spoiler upon itself to say that there's spoilers. But keep this one really short. It's a really smart show. The episode, the writing is really tight, and kind of just the everybody that's in it is just brilliant acting wise. It's one of those shows that you could have probably cut together in an hour and 2 hour package and made a pretty decent film out of. So it's one of I forget if this is a Netflix show that they like bought from Europe and thus made it a Netflix show or not, but it's one of Netflix's from 2015, but it was one of Netflix's first really top notch quality original programming that they had. So just another recommendation.
Before I give our fifth kind of official pick, I'm going to run down a few things that we were talking about it beforehand, and it's like, we didn't have a whole lot of stuff that was perfectly suited for, hey, if you like Riverdale, try this. Mm-hmm. But we did have a whole bunch of things that we felt like we should mention.
Yeah.
So I'm going to run down like three things real quick. Is The Killing. The Killing is, The Killing is the last big show that came out with a whole lot of hype. And that everybody said, oh man, it's just Twin Peaks. And The Killing weirdly had exactly the same problem as Twin Peaks, which is that they didn't resolve their murder in the first season.
Yeah.
And then once they resolved it, unsatisfying to a lot of the viewers that people just bailed. People bailed because they hadn't resolved it. And then when they did resolve it, people bailed again. And I thought it was a really well-acted show. Marilyn Enos, or however you say her name, from World War Z is in it. God, I can't remember his name now, but the guy who played Alex Murphy in the new RoboCop is in it.
Kinnaman, because I'm looking at the IMDb page. I'm not that good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Joel Kinnaman. God, there's a guy who was in that movie who was also in Deidre and Lainey Rob a Train, and I can't remember that guy's name for the life of me, but he was the father of the murdered girl. And it's a really well done show in terms of character stuff, in terms of acting, and thematically quite as interesting as something like Twin Peaks or like Riverdale. But I think that the production value on it is really, really high, especially for the kind of show that it was kind of at that moment, because AMC was not spending a lot of money on anything right then. Yeah. The Walking Dead was not the juggernaut that it is now.
Yeah.
And so they didn't have just an unlimited supply of money. Not that they spend that much now, because The Walking Dead is always getting budget cuts, and you're like, okay, there's 20 million people watching. What are you cutting? But
well, they've got to figure out how to make it last 20 years now, according to the last... That's what they claim, so...
Killing, I felt like should be mentioned, although didn't necessarily merit its own whole section, which we kind of just gave it, because it's basically Twin Peaks light in a lot of ways. Yep. I also feel like we should mention Beverly Hills 90210, because it was a primetime soap, lots of hot young things, lots of relationship drama, all this kind of stuff. Not a murder, as far as I know, but I'm going to tell you the truth. These last three, I have not yet seen an episode of.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of blowing through them because I know people always compare them or mention them in the same breath as Riverdale. In the case of 90210, the guy who plays Fred Andrews, Luke Perry, was obviously one of the main stars and kind of the breakout star of the original Beverly Hills 90210. It was a huge sex symbol in the 90s. Yeah. The next one is another Netflix original, Stranger Things. I know everybody is going to be upset that I haven't seen it yet. Nature of my job is because I have to watch so much stuff for work. If I'm not covering a show, it just doesn't, it doesn't end up on my radar until I get like a vacation week or something.
Yeah.
And so I really want to watch it. I haven't. But the girl who plays Barb, the girl who apparently goes missing and became kind of a viral sensation, is Shannon Purser. Who plays Ethel Muggs. We talked about this actually when we were in Vancouver and that episode had just aired. They had the hashtag Justice for Ethel joke, which is a Stranger Things kind of call out. And then the last one that kind of just needs to be mentioned because everybody says it is Dawson's Creek. Dawson's Creek was kind of the proto Riverdale in a lot of ways. You see there aren't any shared cast members that I'm aware of, although there were, you know, Dawson's Creek ran for like 130 years and Greg Berlanti was the executive producer on both shows. So it wouldn't surprise me if there's like a handful of character actors who just kind of were people on the periphery of both shows. But that is kind of the original, not the original, I'm sure, but the one that I remember from the 90s where the teacher-student relationship drama was a big part of the early season. Yeah. And it's a thing that if you listen to Archie Digest, a Riverdale podcast, which Craig and Chris, who have actually seen Dawson's Creek and who enjoyed Dawson's Creek when it was new, those guys are constantly referencing elements of that show as compared to Riverdale. So I feel like I should at least mention that in passing. Probably should also mention The Suite Life of Zack and Cody, because that's where, you know, the only kind of major member of the key or of the core Riverdale team who was a big, big star before Riverdale was Cole Sprouse. And Cole Sprouse, you know, essentially made his name on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody with his twin brother. That element of him, apparently there is somewhere, and I haven't seen it yet, but Craig assures me that there is a video of, or not, I can't remember if it was a video or just audio, but there apparently Lily Reinhart and Camila Mendez, who play Betty and Veronica, sang the Suite Life of Zack and Cody theme song, and you can find it on the internet if you look hard enough. When I get this into an audio, you know, when this is a podcast instead of just like a streaming video that we're doing, I'll try to remember to look and see if I can put that in the show notes. So the last thing I did want to talk about, though, and call an actual entry instead of just like a runner-up or a drive-by, is iZombie. iZombie is also a CW show. It's also a comic book adaptation that a lot of people don't necessarily think of as a comic book adaptation or realize as a comic adaptation. The central conceit of the show is zombies are real, but it's not exactly the way you think of them. That there are people who essentially have to eat brains in order to stay. And It's a spectacularly acted show. It's based on a comic book that a guy I know wrote, and I walked in because they made so many changes to the comics. I walked in totally ready to just be like, okay, screw that show, whatever. I met the cast at a press event before the show ever premiered at Comic-Con, and it was just like you meet those guys, you hang out with them for like 5 minutes, and you're just like, okay, I want this show to succeed because these guys are amazing.
Yeah.
And that really, it shows on camera. Like Raul Coley, who plays the medical examiner in Dr. Ravi Chakrabarty. Ravi is a hilarious character, but like more than that, Raul Coley just feels like the kind of guy who ought to be a superstar. Robert Buckley and David Anders, who play kind of key roles in the show as well, are some of the funniest guys who don't really get to play comic because they're dashing and handsome. One of the great things I think is kind of playing against that type, Rose McIver and Ally Machalka, who are the two kind of main female leads in the show, get to be funny all the damn time. And when you have two kind of very beautiful young women, typically you don't get to see them play a lot of comedy, which is one of the things that, again, kind of really feels Riverdale to me. Like you watch and the combination of kind of her sex appeal and her ability to sell a joke feels very much like Camila Mendez. It's just one of those things where, in all likelihood, if you're not turned off by the brain eating, which, to be fair, some people are. My wife won't watch the show because of that. But if you're not turned off by the brain eating, I think that if you enjoy Riverdale, you'll probably dig iZombie.
Yeah.
And so that's the end of our 5 for 5, which we kind of cheated and gave you like 8, but we can only talk about 5 of them with any kind of intelligence, so I think that counts.
I just was looking up a couple things that were like on the... And there's two HBO shows, and I'll just say very briefly, is 6 Feet Under and The Leftovers. For some reason, both the 6 Feet Under more than The Leftovers, but it just has to do with that kind of overall tone of anything can happen, weirdness, and, you know, the overall feeling of the dialogue where it's smart, but it's certainly not real world, you know, 100% real world dialogue like a lot of like most shows nowadays, either they've gone one way or the other. Either they've gone the way of, you know, West Wing, where they're uber smart, you know, like way too smart for who they are, or, you know, super real, you know, a little bit funny, but, you know, like Modern Family or something like that. You could see members of your family saying that if they were, you know, funny. But you know what I mean. It's so it just, you know, those are two shows. 6 Feet Under, I'd say definitely more than The Leftovers. But you know, if you can, it's probably on Amazon Prime. I think the whole HBO set is there. Watch. It's one of those shows that you can watch the first couple seasons and then just not bother with the rest.
Well, the finale. The finale you should see.
I have actually never watched the last season. I remember it was one of those that I heard and I fucking hated the idea of it or something. I don't even remember why I like was like, nope, I'm out, I'm done. You know, but there's a handful of shows that I've just kind of, West Wing is one that, you know, to use the example, is that I just completely know about it. But that was basically because the entirety of the cast was going away. And I was like, well, this is the reason I watched the fucking show, because the cast was so great. And if you decide to switch it with, as much as I love Alan Alda, I don't know, him playing a right winger, the only time that's that's not like a smart aleck liberal or whatever, the only time that's great is in Canadian Bacon. I'm currently trying to see where Canadian Bacon is available.
I believe it's on my Vudu account, so you could probably just watch it there. Unfortunately for anybody who's watching or listening, that doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form. But all right, Zach, any closing thoughts before we wrap up for the evening and I can go sleep?
Nothing that I can think of other than, you know, for God's sakes, I would put Riverdale at the top of your list and then you can watch some of these. Right now you can watch it on CW site. It's also, at least the last couple episodes are available on, you know, Time Warner streaming, Spectrum streaming now, and everything like that. So it's watch it while it's around and make sure it's give it its rating. It's got its second season, but you know, let's give it a final good pushover, because
and certainly a thing that's, I mean, for anybody who's coming from this from the Emerald City Video perspective instead of people who are coming at it from the Archie Digest kind of import perspective. If you haven't seen Riverdale because you're like, what the hell, Archie? But you dug, like, if you were a kid and you grew up and you really liked Sabrina the Teenage Witch, they've all but said, oh, yeah, she's in the finale. I've seen, like, four different interviews where they stop just short of saying it, but they make it incredibly, incredibly clear, like, oh, yeah, we're going to be exploiting that IP within the next, like, 40 minutes.
Yep.
So, I'm pretty sure that that you can see pretty much all of this on the CW app or on the CW website. I know you can buy the season if you're so inclined on like Vudu and Amazon and all those kind of places. But you should be able to find the pilot someplace, if nothing else, because the show's been on hiatus for a few weeks, and I know they replayed the pilot recently. And the way that the CW app works is that usually the five episodes you can find are like the five most recent that aired, not the five most recent that were made.
Yeah.
In any event, shouldn't be a problem for you to find this show for free and get caught up if that's what you want to do. There's a new episode on March 30th. Zach is not going to survive this episode. We're going to try to take a look at maybe tomorrow or the next night at some movies that you might like if you dig Riverdale.
Yep.
Part of the reason for this is just because we originally intended to do movies and we had a Freudian slip and said TV shows, and so both of us came up with a list and then came to the table and we're like, oh yeah, that's not what we were going to do at all.
We've also been kind of doing the whole movie and Riverdale thing for, it feels like, maybe this is just the second episode, but it feels like it's been a while. So
well, this is the second episode of Emerald City Video, and then we had the special Emerald City Video episode with Archie Digest. So yeah, at this point, we've been talking about movies and Riverdale quite a lot. We're going to do it a couple more times, at least one more, because even if we don't get around to the here's five movies that you would like if you dig Riverdale, we are going to be looking at, I can't remember the name of the movie, but Ross Butler has a movie coming to Netflix. But anybody who's still out there, thank you very much. And we'll be back very soon with our regularly scheduled Emerald City Video programming. In the meantime, you can catch me on the Archie Digest or Riverdale podcast sometime Thursday. This is the first time they haven't sent us screeners, and so I might have to wait for my compatriots on the West Coast to actually see Riverdale before we can discuss it. Usually our show comes out right around 10 p.m. Eastern time, and I don't know if that will happen this week. Zach, where can they find you?
You can find me. I was going to make the joke again, but I won't do it about physical location. I think I did that literally last night. I'm a photojournalist. You can find my work at zdroberts.com. One of my podcasts is aroundthelens.com, and we talk about photojournalism. And my other podcast is forgetting what it's called. Insurgency USA podcast. It's a political left wing craziness. Talk to journalists, lawyers, and stuff like that. And you can find that at zdroberts.podbean.com. Also on iTunes and everything else as well.
Yeah, same thing here. You can subscribe to the Emerald City Video podcast either on iTunes or at emeraldcityvideo.podbean.com. You can subscribe to the Archie Digest podcast either on iTunes or at archiedigest.podbean.com. You can look at the show notes, and it'll tell you how you can support the show financially, because we actually we have opened up kind of a shop on Redbubble where you can buy Riverdale-themed merchandise to the best of our ability without actually being bootleggers who are jerks. And then you can donate directly to us our PayPal link and get some of the 8x10 photos from what I did on the set visit. Basically, we're just trying to monetize the show a little bit so that way we can continue to pay hosting fees and not go out of pocket for it. We had one kind of angel investor, Mimi C, who's a regular commenter and somebody who follows us on Twitter, who donated some money so that she's our like official season one sponsor at this point. So anybody who really wants to subscribe to either of the shows, check us out on iTunes or check us out on Podbean. Anybody who wants to support the shows, look in the show notes on the Podbean page, and you can do that. Or when the Archie Digest show goes on K-Site, they usually have all that information too. Because of the fact that we're doing a Riverdale thing, I'm gonna once again point out that this is a crossover between the two shows, and that we are a podcast about a story about something. Not really a town, but you know, yeah. Good night, folks.
Brett, move your head.